This is Brian Cambria with the KVNF Regional News for Thursday, December 19, 2013. The Grand Junction Airport Authority Board has fired Rex Tippetts, the airport's director of aviation. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports the board gave no reason for its decision. Tippetts has been on paid administrative leave since FBI agents searched the airport's administrative offices early last month on allegations of fraud. Tippett's attorney said the director was surprised by the decision, especially since no charges have been brought yet in the case. The attorney described the board's decision as a rush to judgment and also claimed the federal investigation of the airport is, quote, bigger than Mr. Tippett's. According to the Daily Sentinel, the board voted unanimously to dismiss Tippett's, saying only that the move would be in the best interests of the authority. The owner of a dog sledding operation in the Aspen area has been charged with 8 counts of animal cruelty. The Denver Post reports the misdemeanor charges against Dan McEachin center around a lack of food and shelter for the dogs, as well as proper vet care. According to the Post, 8 dogs were seized from McEachin's Krablunik operation by the district attorney last week. In addition to the charges, McEachin will also have to pay for the dogs' care after they were seized. Critics of the operation have said for months that the dogs weren't properly fed and even pushed the Snowmass Village Town Council to end McEachin's 20-year lease on the property, set to expire in 2026. Former employees accused McEachin of allowing dogs to freeze to death. But according to the Post, McEachin has defended his treatment of the dogs and claimed they were adequately fed. At a recent Snowmass Village Town Council meeting, the town's mayor refused to allow 15 people to publicly speak out against the Krablunik operation. As the Aspen Times reports, Mayor Bill Boineau delayed those comments to sometime after the investigation into the dog sledding business was finished, adding that the town would notify the public when that comment period would take place. The Denver Post also reports the state of Colorado has decided to lower the yearly fee for medical marijuana patients from $35 to $15 starting next February. The state says it's already made more than enough money off the fees to cover its administrative costs. According to the Post, the state actually has an excess of $13 million from those fees. The new $15 patient fee is much lower than the original annual fee of $140 back in 2000 when Coloradans voted to allow the medical marijuana industry. The gradual lowering of those fees stems from the fact that the state isn't supposed to make money off of them, only cover the administrative costs of the patient registry system. Colorado's Health Board is still trying to decide what to do with the $13 million excess. Some in the medical marijuana industry have suggested using $7 of the $13 million to fund research into whether conditions like post-traumatic stress disorder could be treated with the drug. Meanwhile, the town of Carbondale is set to lower its fees on recreational marijuana. The town trustees there agreed last week to cut the fees for a retail license from $5,000 to $2,000. The Glenwood Springs Post-Independent reports a formal vote on the issue still won't take place until next month, but trustees seem set to pass the fee reduction. Carbondale trustees also agreed to make the fee reduction retroactive, meaning that the one retail applicant in the town so far will get a refund. At a recent confirmation hearing for President Obama's nominee for the new general counsel of the CIA, Colorado U.S. Senator Mark Udall demanded to see a secret CIA study of interrogation techniques used by the agency. Reuters reports that Udall and other U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee members believed the study would back up their criticism of waterboarding and other controversial interrogation methods. Udall reportedly said he wouldn't support the nomination of Carolyn Krass to the CIA unless that document was declassified. Udall also released a statement yesterday saying he's, quote, encouraged by a 300-page report on the National Security Agency's practices. The study was conducted by President Obama's Review Group on Intelligence and Communications Techniques and includes a number of recommendations for the NSA. Among other ideas, the group suggests the government end its practice of storing Americans' phone records and work to be more transparent with its surveillance. Udall is encouraging the president to adopt all of the review group's recommendations. State lawmakers are once again heading into a legislative session following a school shooting. Colorado passed controversial gun laws earlier this year in the wake of the Aurora Theater shooting and the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. Penta Berkland takes a look back at the gun legislation and talks to lawmakers who are taking stock of things.
The Arapahoe High School shooting hits especially close to home for Republican Senator Ted Harvey of Highlands Ranch. His son is a junior at the high school and was on the speech and debate team with gunman Carl Pearson. Harvey is also good friends with Pearson's mother, who he says is one of his biggest political backers.
Nobody can prepare for it. Nobody can mentally prepare for it. It's the most horrific thing I've ever been this closely involved in.
Pearson committed suicide in the school library when an armed school resource officer approached him. Harvey says it strengthens his position that schools shouldn't ban trained faculty from having concealed carry permits.
My wife is a teacher, and she's working in a gun-free zone where those that want to do harm have free rein to come in and shoot students and staff without any opposition whatsoever.
Harvey sponsored a bill during the last session that would have allowed teachers to go through training and have a gun in the classroom. It failed, with Democrats, including Senator Jesse Ulibarri, blasting the measure. Ulibarri said it would make schools less safe, adding that you don't need a gun to take down a shooter, as was the case in the shooting of Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords.
People who were unarmed took that person down when he stopped to reload. And so there are other ways to address violence, and it doesn't mean that we have our kids exposed to a whole crossfire of multiple folks in a room shooting simultaneously.
Democrats would ultimately pass several controversial gun measures, including universal background checks and a ban on high-capacity magazines of more than 15 rounds. As a result, Democrats lost three senators through recall and resignation.
Anybody who thinks that another law will make people stop doing evil things is failing to recognize the very nature of the world that we live in.
That's Republican Senator and gubernatorial candidate Greg Brophy from Ray. He says the laws are ineffective and take away constitutional rights.
The only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is for a good guy to have a gun.
Brophy says he'll work with his caucus to repeal the gun laws in the upcoming session, something incoming Senate President Morgan Carroll of Aurora says won't happen.
For us, the idea of not doing a background check before purchasing or transferring a weapon is crazy. It's the only way you can keep guns out of criminals' hands. So there's really not a lot of interest in going backwards on that front.
Democrats say the laws are working, citing recent data that shows background checks stop 72 gun sales where the would-be buyer was convicted or charged with a serious crime, like murder, sexual assault, and possession of dangerous drugs and theft. Both parties expect the topic of guns and violence to once again dominate the legislative session. Republicans say it will also be a key part of the 2014 elections, where they're hoping to flip control of the legislature. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And thus concludes this morning's newscast. For KVNF News, this is Brian Cambria.